Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters.
And back to his favorite stuff. Elections.
Yeah, that
numbers.
Too. Yeah.
Who voted, who didn't. We know you have voted in every election ever. Oh, what, are there like 38 people?
Actually, no, it's not down to 38, but funny you should ask.
Yes.
I hadn't thought about that, but I'll speak to it.
Yeah.
I did manage to get the, what I do periodically is I request from the Election Commission, I get the, whatever the current voter database that's used for a specific election.
So in other words, how many people are registered?
Yeah, all the registered voters. And then I also get, after the election, it takes a little while to do the data entry, but eventually what you do is you get a record of who voted. Not how they voted, but who voted.
When you say who, do you mean who, specifically who, or Democrat, the name?
The names of the people who voted.
And they let you see that?
It's a public record.
Really?
So yeah, anybody could get it. In fact, the truth is
Of course, that's what the candidates use all the time. They buy those lists and
they
says,
buy those lists.
When did they last?
You're right.
Okay.
So that is that in itself is a changing practice. Once upon a time, the standard practice in all political campaigns was you target most likely voters.
Well, that is what they do. I mean, they're not going to get Republicans and go can't. They're going to get, if they're a Democrat running, they're going to get the Democratic voters that voted in the last or whatever.
Right, but there is there's one risk in doing that. If you basically target only the predictable voters, the ones who always vote, they tend to vote predictably as well. Absolutely, but certainly more so than just a random person. So if you were already inclined to vote for a particular candidate, it's a good likelihood you might do so again. So if you're a new candidate, targeting those people who are already committed, in a sense, to one candidate might not always be the best strategy.
Well, that's obviously why Ayanna Pressley did so well, because she targeted
That's what I'm saying.
Right, I know. Right. But so,
So the thing is
you still want to get your vote out. You don't want people to be complacent. I'm talking about the ones that, let's rely on those, but I don't have it in the bag. You better get out and vote, which makes a difference.
And it's something I think about often because nowadays, especially when people talk about, and we may talk about it soon on things about public campaign finance reform and publicly financed campaign elections. The truth is that I think it's demonstrably true in both local elections and even some major elections that the correlation between how much money you spend on an election and your electoral success. It's not so clear anymore at all.
No. Sumbul Siddiqui pointed that out.
Right.
She said mine was $14 per vote.
That's right. I know, because I put up the numbers.
Okay.
Right? Actually, we have a link here if you want to see it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's true.
Right?
And people have spent more than anyone did get in. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like,
it
the
isn't
person,
always,
you know.
It does help to have money, though.
It helps, right? But the thing is that.
It does
so,
not
a little more money gives you a little more advantage.
Right.
But money itself doesn't buy you the advantage.
No.
Right, so the thing is, you still have to sort of have a base to work from, and more
retail
and more,
politics. Go out there and knock on doors.
That's absolutely true, and I don't think that'll ever change.
No,
but also the notion that you have to have a very deep pockets to pay for, you know, three or four glossy three color.
No, that's going
mailings.
Out the window. Not with social media.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so social media
has changed
for all
the
its good and bad. It has
that's
absolutely
right.
changed the way
you
elections
can
are
not
operated.
Which is why you really question: do we need to pay for municipal elections? I don't think so.
I think some of the arguments that people have made in the past about campaign finance reform as well as public funding for elections is starting to become a little fluid here. Right? I think giving equal platforms or comparable platforms for candidates, I think is a great goal, and I think we should all be striving for that.
But we
seem
to have that. I mean, Cambridge, when we have these forums, there's 25 seats up there. They all get it. I'm just saying there are opportunities for people that don't raise a lot of money. Yes, maybe we need to do something, but I'm not sure it's
what the one problem we have municipal elections, and this is late November.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a little early to be thinking about the 2019 municipal elections. But this is around the time of year when you start to hear names, and I haven't heard, I said it last week as well. I haven't heard any yet. right? I do
New people.
New people.
Yeah, challengers.
I do know of some of the candidates from 2017 who are very much intending to give it another shot.
Right, but you know, I listened to Alana Mallon and Simbel Siddiqui's last Women Are Here, and they were already anxious about that. I mean, they were mentioning it's coming up, and oh God, they dread it. Because I don't blame them. I mean, it's a lot. It's too much.
Well, it's maybe too much, but the thing is, it's also
you already have to deal with it in January for November. I know, but
you know, it's
I know.
If you actually look at the way it plays out, it's that going out and interacting with voters and potential voters.
Yeah.
If you actually look and you see city council orders, they are absolutely influenced by this as you play your way through
every odd number of years.
You know, some potential voters said this and that, and they said, hey, what about that? Next thing you know, there's a council order looking into this and
that. Yeah, I know.
Again, I don't want it to just wither candidates, or I don't want it to destroy the souls of helpless incumbents. But
you know, what you have said in the past, which is one of the things, you know, have a voluntary limit of spending and then advertise like hell that people go over it. That's all. You know, like you have said, I guess something that's been thrown around is $30,000, which still is a lot of money.
You know, but if you
is kinda, that the figure you came up with?
You know, honestly, I'd say for school committee elections, it's one thing. For city council elections, it's another.
Good point.
And, you know, it's sort of like the way you said, how do you ideally should set speed limits on roads based on the 85th percentile or whatever. Mm. So you probably have to kind of look at what people actually spend and then say, okay, so there's a baseline standard. Let's maybe trim it down a little bit.
Stop those glossy things. Oh,
right. Honestly, they're not what's really winning the election.
Actually, I think that was more for the last election.
Right.
I don't remember.
So, but I also make real strong distinctions between local elections or municipal election, where you can literally get out there at the subway stations and meet people.
You have something to say. People will listen to you. You have an opportunity.
But the further up the chain you go, you know,
then you need more influence.
You cannot as an individual.
Right.
Reach people as
that,
so you've got to
I wish
to
we did
have
campaign finance on that level. It's true, but I don't. I you know, I guess the question should it be a ballot question to have voters vote whether taxpayers here should pay for people to run, and I don't think that's going to go over big if they do bring it to a
I'll allow my cynical self to express itself. Not that he ever speaks.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
Between your cynicism and my sarcasm, I really like.
So this my cynical person says simply that, oh, somebody wants to put that in as a ballot question.
Yeah.
That's because they want to influence the municipal election by having that be a ballot question so that they can basically bring out people and then center their campaign around it.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, and that has happened before. Yeah. That is not something new, right?
Yeah.
So I'm very suspicious
I don't think it'll
ever
go to a ballot.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's not that difficult to do a ballot question, but the thing is, I just don't see that necessarily as the best way to go, and I also don't necessarily see it as the best way of achieving any success, right?
Yeah.
But who knows? You know, another thing that people, when they talk about things like municipally funded campaigns for, you know, municipal elections, actually, as Polly Cobb once pointed out, we already do.
Polly Cobb, who used
to be election commissioner.
Right.
She said, we already have publicly funded municipal elections.
Mm.
We've always had publicly funded
municipal
elections.
In other words,
people
contribute?
No.
Oh.
What we're talking about is publicly funded municipal election campaigns.
Oh.
Right? And I think that's kind of important to understand.
So what are you saying? I don't know.
When you talk about
publicly funded,
it means funding the candidates, you know?
Okay.
Because we operate elections and we do voter information. We do a lot of things.
Right, but we don't do it per person.
We don't do it per person. So that's the question.
Mm.
Is it defensible to really want
but
to
we hold it. Forums or different groups hold forums and that gets everybody those are free
I know but
you don't pay to go to those
right,
and the candidates don't pay to sit on them.
They're also voluntarily done, and they're also, if I might observe, terribly ineffective. The thing is that I think that the candidate forums that we do in every municipal election are good exercises for new candidates to sort of strut their stuff
and show who they are.
Show who they are.
Yeah.
But the number of people who attend these forums.
No, but they're televised. Thank you, Cambridge Community Television.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they do most of it. In fact, I think they do all of them.
Right. So the only way you actually get any effectiveness at all is because CCTV is out there.
And they put it on
shaking the bushes and making it
No,
happen.
It is. You can see them
after
the fact.
Them.
So it's not like they're not.
Right.
able to be seen, just like our show.
Right.
Who's watching now? Three people? Maybe?
Thousands.
But it's on all over his website, and YouTube, and I mean, it's constantly.
Right. But the thing is, it's, the days of big campaign rallies with hundreds or thousands of people coming out to
that's
roar
Trump's territory.
The candidates at a municipal level, that's just generally how it happens.
No.
You know?
It's all like, it's small enough area you can you can have.
Yeah, I think if we want to do some real reform for how we do municipal elections, we should find better ways of connecting voters and candidates. Hmm. That's not the same as funding the candidate's campaign.
But isn't that the same argument you would give to having, when we have committee meetings, how do you get the people that is going to most affect out
that's
of those
right.
meetings? So it's
that's
almost
right.
the same
so
thing.
So it's a combination of different media channels.
Right.
I do my part trying to do Cambridge candidate pages, but the thing is that can
be
improved.
You do a big part on that,
right.
yeah.
I do a fair amount, but the thing is that other people are sort of pitching in as well.
Right.
I think there's probably a sweet spot of a sort of a best way to do that it draws enough people in and doesn't overwhelm them, so that they'll actually stick around and watch it for a while to find out who these people are. You know?
I was just looking up the series of forums that Mayor McGovern and Sumbul Siddiqui are organizing starting tomorrow night, Wednesday, at 5:30 at the Maynard's, or the old Maynard Cat, whatever. Go on the website, the city website, you'll see it, or... which is to address some of that. It's trying to bring together people from different, to try to address
I think this one is
equity
a little specific, though. It's not certainly doesn't address election-related.
No, not election, but it's like getting the people that live in our city that maybe don't know each other. And that's partly, I don't know, I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there because they've been promoting it. And
I love Brian Corr to death,
Now, this isn't having to do with him.
No, I'm just saying is that, but he tries to do these sort of meet your neighbor days and whatever.
Oh,
I haven't heard any big stories of great success about
this. No, this is different.
People
this
are
is
busy
a whole
and it's
thing.
Very hard to do it. So this, to me, is a big challenge.
Yeah.
How do you actually create common space for people to sort of... Whether you're talking about elections, about learning about candidates, or meeting candidates.
I think
candidates,
this is a...
We don't do a very good job of it.
I think this is to... They're going to facilitate... I think this is a start to address that. Because look where they're having it. They're having it in... what do you call that? The port?
So, getting back to the data.
Oh, right. Yeah, your data.
So, I get this data from the Election Commission, and... And then I always, what I do is I do a little bit of an exercise just to make sure that I didn't make any mistakes, basically. Let me be honest. Because when you're importing big data things and joining it in with other databases, whatever, so I'm basically merging like 35 different files into this combined mega database that has not only the voter registration information, but all the voter histories going back to 1997.
Wow, everyone that's voted.
Yeah, but now nobody needs to know, really, realistically, whether somebody voted in a 1997 election. But I kind of keep doing it because I'm curious, and also because it's part of the test that I do to make sure when I do the upgrade that it's done. So I did a big upgrade. So candidate, anybody who gets it because they download it for me, it's available, if you want to go get it or ask me. But the thing is, the number of people who have not missed a single citywide election since 1997. That includes municipal elections, that includes me, municipal elections, state elections, federal elections, primaries, right?
Uh-huh.
As long as they were citywide.
Yeah.
So that anybody could have voted in them, right? So what are we down to now, right? So I always, ask people, the fun question, how many people, there's 70,000 people
that are registered?
Registered voters right
really?
Now.
70,000?
Yeah.
Out
up
of
around
a
that.
Population of 110? That's pretty good.
Wow. Yeah. Right. Now, the thing is, that may include some active and inactive voters who have actually moved away, but they're still on voter rolls. So,
right.
So, in fact, every year after the presidential election, the number of registered voters tends to drop because there's a lot of voter registration around presidential election time. Mm-hmm. And then less so during the intervening years. Now, this was not a presidential election year. This was a state election
year. Well, but it was midterms.
Midterm elections.
It's always,
Right, but it's not as big as the presidential years.
No, it was the highest turnout,
but it was,
right?
But we had a real bump up. I mean, there's a lot of
interest in
voting.
I think the states
has
the highest turnout since 19-something.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some changing patterns now the assumptions that have always worked.
I think you can attribute that to Trump.
I think it's true. You know, he's doing more for voter turnout than any president.
More people than anybody.
All of American history.
Look at all the people that have been elected. Women, blacks, white, brown. Oh,
And you watch, if he decides to quit after one term, he will count that as one of his greatest accomplishments.
Yeah, I hope he does.
But anyway, I know. But,
let's not talk about that.
So anyway, we're down to, I think we're, the total number who haven't missed an election since 1997, out of the 70,000 is 114.
Wow.
And I know about half of them personally.
Wow.
Right. It's a
Have
very
you told
elite.
Them?
They, but some of them know because they contact me and say, "Am I on the list? Am I on the list?" I go, "Yeah, you're on the list."
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, I've missed a few.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I voted.
So whenever I get that, then I do a few other things, you know, some tests, or whatever. So I did something. It was a little fun the other day. Now this is a continuation of something I did a year ago as well. I was interested in sort of seeing what the breakdown by age was.
Oh, you did it for the municipal election.
And I did it for the municipal election and then a couple of years before that.
Okay.
So over the weekend, because I was kind of laid up over the weekend, a little under
it was
the weather.
Cold, yeah.
So what I did is I just made some charts and graphs. So these little histograms that show distribution of age. They probably require a little bit of explanation, so we'll see what we can do. Okay. What we see here is on the... I just want to point out here, the graphs on the right are really boring. They're just a distribution by age of registered voters in Cambridge in 2018, 17, 16. And the only thing that needs to be said about it is that the overall numbers are up, but the distribution by age hasn't really changed much.
So what are we looking at here?
Well, I'm just looking on the right ones first, okay?
Here,
so these are just registered
voters. Okay.
So if you were to look that down, and let me see, I just want to page, just scroll down a little bit. If you look at all of those, there's not really any change.
The
bottom is a whole other matter. We'll get to that.
Okay, all right.
Right?
So looking at from 2012.
Right, so there's little minor changes. The overall number of registered voters are, you know, it peaks at about 8,000, then 7,000, then 7,000. Now it's over 8,000 in 2016.
It went up quite a bit,
Go up a little bit higher now. Up here, it's about 8,000.
It went down in 17.
Go to the very top one.
Yeah.
You see now we're up at, what are we up 8, there?
000?
About 8,000, okay?
Yeah.
So the point is it doesn't really change all that much from year to year.
Yeah.
So, but what's far more interesting is to look at the distribution of people who actually voted in a given year's November election. Okay, so the top one, this is the distribution of the election that just happened.
Right here?
Yes.
Okay.
Voted 2018.
This is the midterm.
Right.
And,
if you look at it, what's actually distinctive here is that the profile isn't particularly different than those of registered voters.
So this is the age.
Right. The only thing that you will notice is a little bit different is when you get up into the around 65, 70, 70 range here, right, there's a bump here which is a little higher than it was. It's a little bit stronger there than it was for all registered voters. In other words, voter turnout amongst people in that age group is a little better, right?
Yeah, that's
right.
And I can
demonstrate that a little bit further down. Now, if you look at the graph below it, that's
this one.
Distribution by age of people who voted in 2017.
This is the presidential year.
Municipal election.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. This is not the...
Okay, so what's really interesting in that one is that it's actually, except for the fact that there's a big jump in the people who are in the sort of 65, 70 range.
That's really
But that's
big.
Always been there. What is actually...
You mean for municipal?
Yes. But what's different is that you'll notice that the younger voters there were very, very strong there as well.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you go down a little bit further to voted in 2000.
Wait, I have to ask you a question here. Why does it say 1,600 here and it says 5,000 here?
Because a lot more people voted in the state election than do in the municipal election.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
Scaled.
I see. This is okay.
Scaled.
All right.
Okay, so let's scroll down.
Let's
a
go down.
Bit.
We're looking at 2016.
All right. So you look at, if you compare 2017, which is municipal, to the presidential election 2016, you'll notice that, in fact, the distribution is pretty almost the same as the registered voters. So there wasn't a particularly strong bias.
Look, you could almost lay that right on top of that. Yeah.
So, you know, so that's how it worked in presidential elections. Now, if you look at the top one, which is voted 2017,
yeah,
compare that to voted 2015. Mm. So those are two municipal elections.
You'll notice, very similar.
No.
Oh, not on this end.
Extraordinarily different.
Oh, yeah. What, but this is similar. This right. part,
so
but
the
not
thing is,
this.
So the people who were in the kind of 65-70-ish range there, they always turn out.
Right. But here,
what was
the
fundamentally
big
different in 2015
is the
was it was a big, big, big
wow.
bump.
Look
and
at
that actually helped
yeah.
to explain, you know, Sumble Siddiqui and a few
well,
other.
Well, there was
candidates.
What, 5,000 more votes than the last
yeah,
election?
Yeah, but the thing
right?
is that the
yeah.
age distribution was
sure.
such that I think it gave a bit of an advantage
absolutely.
To some of those.
Right. So that
candidates.
Was the 26
right.
to 32.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, if you look at 2000, if you go, let's go down a little bit more. And you'll see that that 2015 profile,
mm-hmm.
If you looked at, so again, you see that they're different when you go from state to federal
sure.
to
so
municipal.
So this is also municipal, right?
That's municipal, right? So the, it was mainly those 65-year-olds that were determining the outcome of those elections.
Yeah, but wait, I got to back up a little bit. this is the big presidential one, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't get why this age group, which is where I am, is so low here.
It's not low. It's just
oh.
that that's
the, oh, the numbers
it's roughly
are different.
It's roughly in proportion
it
to
is.
What they
okay.
were amongst
what
registered voters.
Me.
So if you look to the graph
yeah.
to the right, you see that's exactly
yeah.
what you would have expected.
Okay. But there's a
yes.
pretty big turnout of the 29.
Right, so the thing
is
that
yeah.
you're starting to see more younger people voting.
Yes, more
right?
engaged. Okay.
Maybe not the youngest of the young voters, but
no,
the
no,
thing is
right.
it's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were to go look further and further down, what you'll see is that, in fact, there's this swish back and forth. Municipal elections, a lot of people, like in 2013, very high numbers in those sort of 65-ish range.
Yeah.
Not as much in the youthful range. But then when
mm-hmm.
you go to presidential elections, like
which
2012, for example, you see how, in fact, the young people come out to vote.
Interesting.
So what was fundamentally
yeah.
different in
yeah.
the 2017 municipal election
mm-hmm.
was a lot more younger people came out to vote
right.
for it. Now, I think that
yeah.
some of that may have
yeah.
had to do with the sort of the bike lobby, but
it
I don't really know for sure.
But it also right. had to do with Trump
and
young
had to do
people
with Trump.
Getting active,
yeah.
women,
yeah.
yeah, everything.
So again,
that.
Just
yeah.
this is the last of the graphs we'll bore you with here. But
yeah,
if you look
so,
at down here with the...
This one?
Yeah, so...
Well, look at this. I've got a hand. I've never seen
well,
that
that's
before.
Because it
did you do that on purpose?
No, well, let's not worry about it.
All right.
But that here is percent turnout 2017.
Uh-huh.
And over on the right, it's percent turnout 2018.
Okay.
And now, there's nothing particularly spectacular to see here other than to see that the percent turnout amongst people who are like 65, 70, 70
it's higher.
And high is really where it peaks,
yeah.
you know? And it especially peaks up around 80% in a
yeah.
state election,
yeah.
You know, or a midterm election.
Yeah.
And it still peaks for municipal, but
it's
but
way
probably
below.
Peaks around
60%. Yeah. Interesting.
Right? But the thing is that you'll notice that, you know, so the voter turnout is lower in the lower age ranges as a
yeah.
percentage of
right.
all voters.
Right.
It's just that there are so many voters of those younger ages in a city like Cambridge.
Hmm.
So they are, in many, many respects, they are kind of like, they're kind of an untapped potential. So anyway, we're back to
okay,
us.
Okay, but I don't get why, aren't there more younger people than older
there are
people?
More younger people.
Oh,
the thing is that even if only...
These are registered voters.
Even
though.
If only,
okay.
they even if they only showed up at 30% voter turnout,
yeah.
there's so many of them. They could still have a big
sure.
peak of voters.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Okay.
So my speculation, and let's not even call it speculation, but, you know, if you're planning a campaign, a political campaign for the municipal election year, is the younger voter turnout, could you count on that being up there again? I don't know if you can.
I think you
right?
can.
I think you have to target them, right? But the thing is there the hot burning issue that brings them out or
well,
not?
Well, I think they're just taken over. I mean,
they've always taken over.
No, but
like,
I think there's more so between the bikes. No, I think that they're
yeah, but
more
they don't always vote.
Marijuana.
Yeah.
But they no, but they prove that they are voting, I think.
I think
in the midterms they voted.
There
yeah.
are some indications
yeah.
now, like in the midterms, that they
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
You know, but there is a certain thing that happens in politics, which is that you can keep them energized
true.
Or
yeah.
they can go, all right, this isn't going anywhere. We're still stuck with this guy. So I forget it.
Well,
and they can give up.
I don't know if they're going to give up, but they may take things for granted because there's all, assuming all the incumbents run, there's no empty seats. There's no excitement about who's going to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's the same people. So,
I
really like them.
If you
them
have
and,
nine incumbents running
yeah.
and if there is a perception that
yes.
it's going to be nine in, say nine out.
Right. Then you may not want to vote.
Right, so yeah. That may cause some people to not bother. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But hopefully if you really cared about that candidate you voted your number one to, you'll get out there, because they're going to need that. They can't, because isn't that happened before? You might have might have been number one and then you go down, or...
You know, I'm probably the biggest proponent of proportional representation in the state, right?
Right.
Though there are some people who are really competing for that title now, I assure you.
That's good.
But the thing about it is that there are some specific difficulties with PR voting, which is that, for the most part, it's a wonderful system. I wouldn't trade it in for anything.
Yeah.
But there is a great vulnerability, which is that if you are an incumbent, incumbents always have an advantage.
Sure.
But if you're an incumbent and there are some attractive, you know, as Glenn Kuchar say, a pretty new face, which has nothing
shiny
to do with gender,
new toy,
by the way.
Shiny new toy. Yeah, whatever.
The thing is that you might, as a voter who used to be loyal to Councillor so-and-so, say, well, I think she is safe.
Exactly.
So
right.
I'm going to maybe give my number one to somebody else.
And meanwhile, that number one's going to get tossed out, and your number two, which is your favorite,
but
may
if very few people did that, then it challenges would never have a chance.
True.
If there were no empty seats.
Right.
So you sort of want them to do that, but if you're an incumbent, you really don't want them to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's one of the great challenges for incumbents is to somehow convince people that you want people to come out and vote, and you want to sort of, you know, take a look and rank some of these other candidates. But on the other hand, you don't want to watch your number one votes disappear, because that's really what gets you in primarily.
Yeah, it's better off to give your favorite the number one and give that new person number two, because chances are that number one is going to have surplus votes. No?
Chances are nobody gets surplus votes.
Oh,
one or two candidates at most get surplus votes.
Oh, that's a good
so
point.
So if
you're
vote number one for your favorite incumbent who doesn't get surplus votes, then your vote just stays with that. Your number two doesn't count for anybody else.
Oh, that's true.
So there's
there's
an argument you can give to give you number one to the new candidate, but that is something incumbent wants to hear.
Okay.
All right.
Forget I said that.
All right.
Then. Okay.
Right, but anyway, these are things that I assure you candidates start thinking about now.
Yeah.
Is how do you fashion so you have to remain fresh, you have to remain the interesting candidate, even if there are new people on the horizon.
By the way, while we have a couple, participatory voting starts December
1st. Very quick. Yes, that's Saturday, I think, right?
Yeah, December 1st. So just Google Cambridge participatory budget, whatever.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.